Greetings, dear friends. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the one Paul referred to when he wrote to Timothy and said, "He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." Greetings in him. To have a false view about him, our Lord Jesus Christ, is to have a wrong view about everything else throughout the universe. To have a poor apprehension concerning the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be a poverty-stricken Christian. To be off-center to Christ is to have the whole world out of focus. Or to put it in musical terminology, to be off-key to Christ is to be out of tune with the world. We are in Colossians chapter 2, and from verse 6, we have seen our responsibility after we have put our faith, our trust, our confidence in the Lord Jesus. Once we have experienced the new birth, in Colossians 2 and 6 we read, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." That's our responsibility. You recall that in Ephesians chapter 2, mind you, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then verse 10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." And so it is. We see here this very truth in Colossians 2 and 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." That's the responsibility of every child of God, to so live Christ. It has been said, "I cannot work my soul to save, for that my Lord hath done. But I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Verse 7 tells us how this is to be accomplished. We are to be rooted. That's to dig down deep or have our roots go down deep. And then he changes the analogy. Not only are we to be rooted deep, but we are to be built up. The analogy here of a building going up into the sky. Rooted in Christ, built up in the faith, in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is only review, so let's press on. Verse 8, he warns the Christians of Colossae how there are those that would spoil them through philosophy. There are those who with vain deceit and after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world would seek to spoil them as far as their effectiveness for Christ is concerned. And then he gives us that verse that we emphasized so strongly in our last broadcast, and would to God we had time to spend hours on it today. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Child of God, we find in him all that we need. Referring back to chapter 1 of the book of Colossians, we read concerning him, Christ, the dear Son, in verse 13 of Colossians 1, well, it says, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Our redemption, our salvation, our justification, our cleansing is through the blood of the Lord Jesus, even to the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. Notice that, the image of the invisible God, or the exact likeness from the very mold of God. Now, if you want to see what God is like, get out the Word of God and study the Scriptures that teach you about the person and work of the Lord Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, or he is the visible manifestation of the God who is invisible. And thus we have it in Colossians 2 and 9. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Or it has been expressed this way, Deity is at home in the Lord Jesus. From the third chapter of this same book, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, as to the image of him that created him. Our Lord Jesus Christ had all the fullness of deity, abiding continually and eternally in him. For in Christ dwells all the fullness, the complete fullness, the total of the Godhead in a bodily form. But then, right after that precious truth, we go into something else that to me is exciting. It's thrilling. It's beyond our comprehension. But may God today allow us to appreciate to some extent the truth of verse 10. And you believers, you Colossian Christians, those of you who are in danger of being led astray because of the philosophy and vain deceit of men, those of you who have received Christ Jesus the Lord and need to be rooted and built up, strengthened and established in the faith, listen to what I have to say, Paul tells them. Ye are complete. Complete in Christ. Grasp it, friend of mine. Christ is the effulgence. Christ is the one in whom dwells all the fullness of the eternal Godhead. Christ is the one who has the exact likeness of the invisible, the concrete representation of the invisible, someone has expressed it. And now he turns right around to these Christians, only simple sinners saved by the grace of God. And he says, hey, you're complete in him. You're complete in this one in whom is all the effulgence of the Godhead in a bodily or visible fashion. Going back again to the book of Ephesians, we read in the first chapter, blessed, this is verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please listen carefully. Ephesians 1:3, if you want to check it out for yourself. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. If it stopped there, we could say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But he goes on. He says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. If it just said he blessed us with a few of them, or if it says he only gave us one spiritual blessing, no, praise God. Our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us in Christ with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, there are folks running around today that tell you, well, once you've been saved, then you got to have another blessing. You got to get the second blessing. You got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then the Bible says that he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. And when we are in Christ, when we are born, well, let's go back to the very beginning of this first chapter of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle. Paul, a sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our blessings are not in self. They're not in what we do. They are given to us by the grace of God in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Notice what it says. Well, verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us. He has made us alive together with Christ. Because Christ lives, we live. Because Christ is in heaven, we shall be in heaven. By grace ye are saved. And listen to this now. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Beloved child of God, if you're in Christ, God sees us in Christ in the heavenly places, seated together with one another and with him. Think about that. It's not a matter of will you be saved at the judgment seat of Christ. Will you be saved when you stand before God? Friend of mine, you're either saved right now or you're not saved right now. He that has the Son has life, and he or she who has not the Son of God has not life. These things, he says, I've written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And he has raised us up, and he has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might display us. He might make of us a display to demonstrate to all that look upon the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I didn't intend to go to the book of Jude, but just for a single verse, I want to show you what it says there. It tells us there in verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." You know what that says to me? The Lord Jesus is going to be happy to have us. Isaiah tells us he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Notice, he's going to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think about it, child of God. Those of us who have been quickened together, made alive, we've been transported into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've had every sin forgiven. We've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are complete in him. Colossians 2:13 says we have been forgiven all of our trespasses. And when we step across that golden threshold into eternity, think what it will be when the Lord Jesus himself will say, "I'm glad to have you. I'm thrilled that you're here." What do we read there in the book of Jude? Listen carefully. Get your Bible and check it for yourself. He tells us there that he's going to be happy to have us. "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Exceeding joy. The man who died at Calvary. The eternal God who became man through the miracle of the virgin birth, through the incarnation. The one who, through the sacrifice of his own body and the shedding of his blood, he's going to welcome us into heaven. He's going to present us there with exceeding joy. That's what it's going to be like to be with him. But even now, he says we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Is that not what we read from Ephesians chapter 2? Verse 6, "He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." Is it any wonder the apostle can tell us in chapter 2 and verse 10 of Colossians, "Ye are complete in him." Friends, you don't need to add anything to completion, especially to the work of Calvary's cross. Our Lord Jesus cried not in defeat, not in humiliation, not as one who had been beaten by the enemy, but he cried in victory and triumph, "It is finished." The writer to the Hebrews said when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Father. The disciples at the tomb that first Easter morn said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He lives." And that is the message of the gospel. He was crucified, buried. He arose again the third day, and today he will give you, he will impart to you eternal life. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And friend of mine, if you'd like to not only have sins forgiven, but if you would like to be complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power, receive him today, experience forgiveness and deliverance, and be made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, who will welcome you and be glad to have you throughout eternity, all by the grace of God and his own shed blood. Amen.